Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 336 for January 31st, 2018. Quartzfest recap.
Greetings, everybody. Here we are in southern Illinois, good old Belleville, about, 8 miles down the pike from the plant where we build microphones. And I've been here all winter. I'm going to be here another couple months. But anyway, it's good to be here. You are tuned into Ham Nation, and we could talk about ham radio and all kinds of other things, but we got a lot of really great things on tonight because Gordo is back from Quartz Fest. Let's run around the horn and see all who's here. Gordon West, you're back, and you're cleaned up.
Well, almost cleaned up. You know, at Quartz Fest, I stumbled over something at about 11 o'clock at night, going, ow, man, that really hurt. And then the next morning I take a look, and right next to where we parked the comm van is a wonderful piece of quartz crystal just sticking out of the ground. So we'll give the full report in just a moment about the great success at Quartz Fest. Bob, we missed you. Back to you and the team.
Can we make a D104 microphone out of that crystal element?
Yeah, I think we can do that. Somewhere I had a D104 around here, and it would work just fine. And when it wouldn't work real well, like the old carbon mics, you'd pound them a few times and loosen up the granules. Well, this one is here to stay.
Oh, golly, that's great. And we have Miss Amanda with us tonight, and it's good to see you. You're all feeling well, and everything's good?
Oh, everything's great here in Colorado. A little bit too dry, you guys. Wish us some of that snow everyone else is going to see this week. But other than that, dentistry was successful, and I feel a lot better.
Well, that's great. We're looking forward to having the chat room talk to you. Come on, chat room, load her up with questions tonight or just something to talk about. We have a little time to do that. So, and here, speaking of time, here's the guy that can be right on time because he's paid to do that, speak and be on time. Don Wilbanks, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, it's good to see you. It's good to have Amanda back. Good to have Gordon back from the land of sand and rocks. And let's see what's going on around here. I did not go out and see the massive throbbing super califragilistic expimuno, whatever it was, because it was 32 degrees out here and frost on the ground at 6 o'clock in the morning. So I waited for Emmett from Radio Waves to post some really good pictures on Facebook and to see the what was it, the super blue blood moon or whatever it was, eclipse. I don't know what was going on, but it was pretty amazing, amazing, amazing pictures. But we've got we're going to talk a little bit about solar weather tonight. Dr. Tamitha Skov will not be with us via video, but we do have information from her, and I shall pass that along to the best of my knowledge and ability, which is marginal at best. Bob, back to you.
Okay. Well, we have a lot of things to talk about, but we really want to hear what she's got. She's just something special. Miss Tamitha, I hope everybody follows her and some of her webcasts and so on. She's doing all kinds of good things, but we're blessed to have her here. I went to a ham fest Saturday. I was able to play just good old ham radio operator. We didn't have a booth. We weren't showing, and it was right here at home. But I do this every once in a while to a winter fest. It's in Collinsville, Illinois, and it really keeps growing. It's quite a nice fest. And I'm walking around, seeing different people, da-dee-da. And I looked up, and I couldn't believe what I saw. Because, you know, there's all kinds of people you see walking around. You're going, wow, I haven't seen you for a couple of years, you know, that kind of stuff. And I looked up and he turned around and he said, "Hi, Bob, how you doing?" And let me bring up this picture. I couldn't believe it. It was Jim. And I'm going, "Jim, what are you doing here?" And, you know, he's had some tough times. Here he was. Look at this. Check it out, Gordo. Look at this.
Oh, oh wow. From Jim's engraving. Yes.
Oh, yay.
He's standing tall.
Awesome.
And the cool part of this is that he told me about a month ago, I talked to him. He was recuperating from his attack at his daughter's home. And he said, "We're going to shut down the business and we won't do any more." Well, that's not true. He wanted me to tell everybody that Jim's Engraving is back in business. He said, "I will be a little bit slower and I won't take quite as many big projects, but look at that." And he really looks great. And I'm so thrilled to be able to get to see him. So he wanted to let everybody know that Jim's Engraving is back in business. So, Gordo, you've got a couple of his displays, don't you? You got one behind you, don't you, Gordo?
Oh, I sure do. And he is such a strong trooper. Nothing slows him down. So, Jim, we're delighted that you're not only up and rolling, but rolling to make more of these great, wonderful plaques. So keep up the great work. And I know the chat room will probably be contacting you shortly, Jim. Bob, back to you.
Yeah, well, we'll look forward to some of his great work. And just to let everybody know, Jim's Engraving, if you want to have something like that made, he's ready to go. Jim's Engraving. Let's look it up on the internet. Hey, look at there, Amanda.
I can move the whole base right now, but these are really spectacular. And I only have to have it hidden away because of puppy dogs now, but I love mine. Thank you so much, Jim.
That's great. That's good. Don, you have, I have one in Pleasant Hope. I don't have one here. You have one there behind you, Don?
Right over my shoulder.
Look at
there
that.
There it is. I've got mine set to scroll through the various colors. I think it looks so sharp. So, yep, it's always on. I haven't turned that thing off, I don't think, since I got it. And it's been several years. I mean, the LEDs last forever, and it looks great. And I've plugged it in, I turned it on, I adjusted the colors, and I have not touched it since. It just stays on all the time. That way, my shack is never dark. I walk into the glow of the Jim's Engraving sign. Good stuff. Jim, I'm glad you're back on the mend, buddy. You're doing good. You're looking great, too.
Super. All right. Well, while we were there, I hung out with my friend Ed, WB4OJM. He's a great guy with the soldering iron. He fixes things, and he can do all kinds of wonderful things with electronics. And we talk on 160 meters a lot when I'm down and home. But we're looking around, walking around, checking it out, getting all kinds of people talking about the pine board, many that are building them. And in fact, I had it with me, and we were kind of kidding. It became the star of the Hamfest. Everybody would go by to see the pine board. Well, we're looking around, and look what we saw. This was amazing. This is about probably 1930, and it is a tuner built on a cigar box.
I love that.
That's the kind of craziness we did back in those days. I wasn't around in 30, but I was around in 40 and thereafter in my ham radio career in 55. And here's Ed and I. We just couldn't believe how cool that thing was. It just amazing. And I made one mistake. I should have bought it, but I didn't. And then I went back to get it, and they were gone. But it was really something. I got a couple of other pictures while I'm here with the camera up and going. This is something pretty special. This comes from a friend of mine. He was a busboy at the Holiday Inn when I played back in 1965 and 66 in Columbus. He was a busboy. And I introduced him to ham radio, and he got his license. And he has built this incredible pine board. Now, what's so incredible about it, he did it on a chassis and put it in a front panel just like high-quality amplifiers. And look at this. That is a pine board. This circuit and so on. He's got it working, talking to people, whatever. But here's the deal. He didn't have any room underneath. So how are you going to do that? I love you guys and gals that can think. I love you people that can think. He used jar lids. Can you see that? Those are lids from jars. And he mounted the socket in that jar lid. Then he could wire it underneath like we did anyway. And put it on that metal plate. That is totally crazy. And I applaud Ed for doing it. Ed Whitney, he's from Columbus. He's in the sound business too. How's that? But here comes the epitome of doing it right. This is another incredible workmanship. Just incredible. And it comes from Tom. Talked to Tom the other day in 3CXP. You can tell Tom was a good builder along the way. That's how he started, but here we are with the final. And he did it on metal, and it's the same circuit. And what's so cool about this is everybody that's calling me, sending me emails going, yeah, I built the pine board and it worked first time. I've only had a couple of instances where guys and gals have built it and it didn't work. And I'm going, whoa, this is wonderful. It makes me feel so good that everybody's out there doing things and having fun. That's what it's all about. And there's the top of Tom's rig. So people are doing things and having fun. And that's what it's all about for me. But it's growing so many clubs. I'm hearing of dozens, I really mean this, dozens of clubs that have taken on the project, and they have a really cool project for their club. Instead of having a boring club where we just sit there and read the minutes of the last meeting and get a cup of coffee and go home, It's fascinating to see everybody from Fairbanks, Alaska. They've got a great club up there, and they're building it on Saturday. It's a workshop time, and then getting on the air and working. And it's just great. I can't tell you how enthused I am. I am anyway, because I use these things, but now I get to share that with you. And, as I said, so many people are building it and it works right off the bat. So I wanted to give you a couple little insights. Got a couple of things we'll talk about a little bit later to get more involved in the pine board, but got some things to do here. And one of them is going to go find out from Don. Don, did you go outside and watch the moon? You say you didn't. You just waited for pictures, right?
Yeah, it was too cold. It was 32 degrees and there was frost on the ground and it was 6 o'clock in the morning. And I said, nah. I asked, Tyler went out in 7TMW. He went outside. He said, it just looked like a full moon, Dad. I said, but I'm going to tell you something. The moon rise last night and tonight as I was driving home over Lake Pontchartrain in the marsh was just spectacular. So I got to enjoy that part of it. So good stuff. I think it's time to get into the news of the week and see what's going on with Amateur Radio Newsline. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2100, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, January 31st, 2018. There's one more good reason now to call CQDX. Christian Kudnick, K0STH, has the good news.
A new DXCC entity has been added to the radio map. Inclusion of the Republic of Kosovo, Z6, raised the number of DXCC locations to 340. The change is effective as of the 21st of January. The ARRL Board of Directors made the announcement after approving a motion to amend the DXCC rules to include entities that have a separate IARU member society and are included in the United States Department Independent Studies in the World list at their meeting held January 19th and 20th. Kosovo, formerly part of Yugoslavia, was admitted to the International Amateur Radio Union in 2015. The Kosovo Amateur Radio Association is known by the initials SHRAK.
Some of the world's top contesters will converge in Germany for the contest of all contests. But what's it like to be a participant? Here's an inside look.
Jim George, N3BB, author of the book and soon-to-be-released audible book, Contact Sport, shares his perspective on the competitor's endurance from WRTC 2014 in Boston.
All in all, to qualify for this contest and to do it really well is an amazing personal commitment. It almost takes 4 years from your life, three of the four to qualify, and then one to get ready, and then to do it, and then to recover from it. So it's quite an adventure.
There are also the challenges in the moment of the contest itself, and they can be formidable, from equipment not working to bands, such as 10 meters, opening at an inconvenient time.
A lot of things had to go right. The gear had to work. You had to catch the openings. You had to stay awake. You had to have tremendous personal endurance. Wow. All in all, that's the pinnacle.
Yes, there are some physical considerations, too. Hams are, after all, only human.
Believe me, to keep concentration for 24 hours with the thing running at, 200 contacts an hour for the most part is really tough for both operators. In New England, very few teams even went to the bathroom. This is a straight-through thing. It was complicated or assisted by the fact that the weather was very hot. So people were drinking a lot, but they were sweating a lot. And many teams didn't go take a nature break whatsoever.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, this is Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, in Bloomington, Indiana.
In Aiken, South Carolina, things just keep getting better for one middle school ham club. As the FCC roster of licensees keeps growing, so does the club's membership.
The Aiken Schofield Middle School Technology and Amateur Radio Club, N4SMS, is proud to report that their membership now includes four new tech class license holders. Each received a new Baofeng UV5R radio to announce their newly acquired call signs on a weekly net on Thursday, January 18th. Checking in were Andrew, KN4IVA, Anna, KN4IVD, Lance, KN4IWB, and Piper, KN4IWC. Thanks go to the sponsoring club, the North Augusta Belvedere Amateur Radio Club, K4NAB, for doing what they've done for the past 7 years by Elmering Schofield Middle School students and providing equipment such as their new Baofeng HTs and other club equipment to keep their interests going. The Schofield Middle School Club is no stranger to Newsline. They were recently mentioned by placing first overall in the nation in the School Club Roundup in all school categories from elementary to university level last October, and that was for the second year in a row. Our congratulations go out to the Aiken Schofield Middle School Club, and our thanks go to the North Augusta Belvedere Amateur Radio Club for keeping amateur radio growing and ensuring our future will be better than ever. For Amateur Radio Newsline in Aiken, South Carolina, I'm Kevin Trotman, N5PRE.
Congrats to the new young hams. And while we're on the subject, it's not too early to be thinking about nominating an outstanding young ham for Newsline's Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF Young Ham of the Year Award. Nominations open in March. More details as that date approaches. And for the rest of this week's Amateur Radio News, please listen to the full Amateur Radio Newsline report online on a repeater near you or on shortwave radio station WTWW at 99.30 and 50.85 kilohertz. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news for four decades and counting at www.arnewsline.org. With Christian Kudnick, K0STH, Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, Kevin Trotman, N5PRE, Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team across the globe. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. 7-3, we'll see you next time here on Ham Nation.
You know, speaking of WTWW, they simulcast the audio to amateur radio, they play Amateur Radio Newsline, and they also simulcast our Ham Nation audio. So for those of you listening on WTWW at 12.105 with that monster signal into Africa and 5085 covering the whole of the United States and a whole lot more,
Good to have you guys along. They were off the air for a little while on 5085. They had a big blower go out on their transmitter. And when I say big blower, it's not just like a little squirrel cage fan. This thing was probably, the blower was the size of a refrigerator. When you've got a 200,000 watt transmitter, that's a lot of heat to blow away from those tubes and everything else. So it was quite an ordeal and very expensive to get that repaired, but they're back on the air, and good to have WTWW along here as part of the Ham Nation gang. Let's talk solar weather, shall we? Again, we don't have Dr. T via video tonight, but she sent me some slides. And basically, she's going to put words in my mouth. So here we go. The sun remains mostly quiet this week with only a slight uptick in activity at the beginning of February. A small boost in solar wind speed is hitting the Earth now and might cause a mild disturbance, especially at higher latitudes over the next few days. Overall, this might actually boost amateur radio propagation in the early part of the week by increasing propagation on Earth's night side. But expect things to quiet down again at week's end. And looking at the solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook, solar flux will hover at the low end of marginal as a small active region. That's region 2697, for those of you scoring at home. Emerges onto the Earth-facing disk. No radio blackouts are expected. Several B-class flares have been observed with a slight chance for more, but these small pops likely won't affect noise levels for amateur radio operators or cause issues for GPS users. Solar flux should stay at current levels over the next few days, possibly dropping deeper into poor conditions if the region decays as we enter next week. And you should really follow her on Twitter and Periscope. It's at Tamitha Scove. She posts all the time. She was on several conference calls today, and she told me, in fact, that her ear hurts from being on the phone so much. That's why we don't have a video from her. Been busy at her job. But also check her out at spaceweatherwoman.com. Dr. Tamitha Scove, just a great asset to the amateur radio community. And, yes, I saw her post something on Twitter the other day that she was studying for her amateur radio technician test, and I believe she's close. She's very busy. She's got a little girl who is, I think, 7 or 8 years old. So, you know, she's got a family and a very demanding job, and still takes time out to help us here on Ham Nation. And we appreciate her like you wouldn't believe. So for sure, follow her on Twitter and Periscope at Tamitha Scove. Let's head out over to the left coast now and see if we can get us a Quartz Fest recap from the old quartz miner himself, Gordon West.
All right. Well, thanks, Don. And yes, we found quartz right there on site, and it's amazing, that location. Well, on site was also the MFJ new transceiver, and this is a portable rig. We had three of them. And Don, they all worked very well. So
I want one.
Great report. They've got new things coming to it. And we can't wait to play the MFJ new little software-defined radio. Well, let's go ahead and jump right in and see what's happening at QuartzFest this past year. And at QuartzFest, there's an aerial view of where all the vehicles begin to park. That is like 2 days before it started. And believe me, it was a lot more crowded after everybody got in place. We had some great signage from NM5RC Ralph. He built up these two, Ham Man and Ham Ma'am, and they served as pointers as to where all the activities were. Thanks to Tracy, WM6T, 110 seminars, and believe me, everybody was everywhere. Now, that's Jim in 6JF, who was there at QuartzFest with a little MFJ rig, giving it a trial at home, and it got a good, clean bill of health, and we're getting a few more things done to it, and MFJ promises it's going to be one heck of a great radio. This was our station, W7Q. Pretty much battery operated, and the BioNO batteries, that little 20 amper, went almost all day. And there's the ICOM 9100 on the left, another ICOM rig in the middle, and other rigs were added by hams visiting. So we were on the air every day, and it was fun working all the stations. And that's Don, correction, that's David, NXXD, sitting with Don, who we don't see, but he's in the background, N9ZGE. David was there to show off some of the great rigs that he brought, and wow, a Flex Radio, we had Elecraft, We had all of the major brands, and everybody loved playing with them. And, wow, this one, unbelievable. The Flex radio that everybody could see, even in the bright sunlight. And believe me, there was plenty of sun at Quartz Fest. Neil, W6FOD, and Nisha, they were there, and they opened up their Ham Shack Emergency Comm Center. And we also operated from there as well. And the chief operator that worked up the most contacts was James, NB7 Tango, correction, KB7 Tango Bravo Tango. James worked about 80% of all of the hundreds of contacts out of the Quartz Fest station. So thanks, James, for being right there in Neil's emergency unit, making all of those contacts. And believe it or not, no rain. Well, maybe a drop or two for maybe 10 minutes, but the weather was great. You can see one of the antennas we used on the left. And we had plenty of tent campers. Everybody was worried, is this tent camping going to work out? Yep, we had 4 porta potties, and they were for tent campers only and daytimers. They worked well, and the tent campers, what troopers. They stayed on the desert floor, and even though the temperature got down to about 32 degrees, it was okay. One tent camper, was going to set up and said, you know, looking by the amount of activity going in and out of this little hole, I think I'll set up somewhere else. No snakes, no critters of any large size to see, but you did have to watch out for those pesky little red ants and their holes. Everything was run on solar because there's no electricity at Quartzsite and Quartz Fest, none at all. And the hams had all sorts of panels. And we had a panel walk around. And again, the BioInno panels, which we see here by our comm van, was doing a great job. And no, that is not a cactus growing out of the Gordo and Susie comm van. That's a cactus in the background. But as you can see, there's no close camping. Everybody is spread out. And that gave us plenty of room to try out our rigs. On the first day, that's Dave, one of the past organizers of Quartz Fest and working with the La Paz Valley School System, brought in a whole bunch of ham radio kids that developed their own hidden tees. So inside these little contraptions, little bugs and little spiders, and in this case, a flower, that's the antenna. And the kids hid the tees, and there were radio prizes for those older hams that went out and found them. And some were really hidden well, and they did a great job. You know, you never know who's gonna be at these get-togethers. And that's Steve, president of the Wind System 6 UFX. And Steve was there, and he was very popular because beside his big, huge motorhome and the Wind System set up there that was tied in via IRLP going through a local, probably a cellular net. He had great coverage all over the country for those that have never tried IRLP to do it with their little handhelds. But what really made the Wind System popular was the coffee 24 hours a day, and he kept the pot always going. So Steve, president of the Wind System and the main man that goes to the mountaintops to work on all the repeaters, thanks so much. And again, windsystem.org. And he says, you want to go for a ride? Let me tell you, he is an ex-race car driver. And this little Hummer, I closed my eyes at 70 miles per hour with a dip approaching. Yahoo, he was careful, but you needed to be buckled in. So a lot of great fun. Susie says, well, after I got out of Steve's vehicle, I think we'll try something a little more modest. And this is Roger, who is with Amateur Television Network. And Roger had a great time taking folks around in this 37. Anyway, it was old. It was original and perfectly restored. And the weather was great, and he barely got any dust on it. Randy, of course, was there. And Randy was so busy taking pictures, I didn't get a chance to get a picture of Randy in action, but there's his vehicle. A little bit of mud on it from coming all the way down from Oregon. The Quartzfesters had 110 seminars to choose, and so much happening on a daily basis. We posted everything, plus we had radio nets through a crossband ICOM repeater. The crossband worked great, but the bulletin board was an all-time favorite. And also keeping all of the events out there so everybody could see them from the comfort of their mobile homes on cable channel 57 and 58 or 59. That's Gary with Don and Roger maintaining the mesh network. So on the mesh network at 2.4 gigs, all of the sites were interconnected with video. So you could watch any one of the session areas. And these kids were busy. They were constantly making sure batteries were up and everything was working. But the mesh network was a huge success thanks to Gary and Don and Roger. They were right on top of it making things happen. And that's the 2.4 gig antenna with a little transmitter right below it. And it worked great. The session areas were well maintained by generators, very quiet ones. The Hondas ran very quiet and very unnoisy over the airwaves. Some of the generators that looked like Hondas, oh, wow, they were very noisy. So you couldn't do much HF if you were next to one of the Me Too generators that weren't Hondas, but good performers other than on the air. And each session area was well marked, and as you can see, overflow. And the overflow, of course, was welcomed by the presenters that Tracy had lined up. And inside the tent, as well as on the outside looking in, it was nice and dark to be able to see the PowerPoint and other demonstrations going on. And again, the weather was great without the tents blowing all over. That's Heather. And Heather was doing all sorts of stuff with the kids, along with Neil, W6FOG, and Dave. And there she's staffing the sign-in. And that's why we know we had 850-some folks, because everybody got signed in. Everybody got a welcome package, and everybody felt good. And, of course, nighttime, you got to have movies. We were going to do them on the side of a vehicle. Then someone said, hey, wait a minute. I've got a screen that will really project or really reflect that signal being projected on it. And there you go. We had movies at night. And, of course, being able in the middle of the desert to talk to a group, we surrounded the vehicles and had a nice 100-watt PA system. Gary maintained all the PAs, and they worked just great, generator-powered. Got to eat. Yep, got to eat. That's the hobo stew. And they, I think that's that. Well, it could be. We had a couple of great outdoor food fests, and one was labeled mild, the other one was hot, and the other one was like your mouth will be on fire. And those that chose that brew, indeed, it was as advertised. There's Goldendare Hills. Well, there's also gold right where you parked. That was discovered by Marilyn, and Marilyn did a little bit of a demonstration of gold panning. And lo and behold, she found some gold. So the ladies, Amy and Jerry and Kim and Marilyn, they started digging holes and they found gold, little specks of gold, right there at our campsite in Quartzfest. So you never know when there's going to be gold in their hills. Everybody brought firewood. We had firewood to spare this year, even though we had 850-plus on scene for almost all 7 to 8 days. Thank you for bringing firewood. It was well used. One night it got very cold, and someone in the agricultural department says, I got just the thing. So they brought out the blowtorch of all blowtorches that normally keep citrus crops nice and warm, and lit this thing off, and then gave a demonstration about the carburation effect and all you can do with it. You'll see more about that maybe later on next few days, but it certainly worked. That's Bob Ross with a stepper vertical. He set it up in 7 minutes, and Bob loves to play radio, so he set up and was doing the digital mode. And he was on FT8, and wow, look at the activity he was working. He said, can I do 100? And he had to stay awake all night on 40 meters, or was it 70? I think it was 75 meters, and he worked many different countries. The next morning, he looked a little cold, but he's got a big smile because that stepper IR crank up really did a fine job down on the lower frequency bands. And again, all battery powered. Chris was our organizer, and she says she wants to do it again next year. And to her right, which is on our left, is Dick Norton. And Dick just returned. He's the Southwestern Division Director from the ARRL board meeting. And, of course, he was the one that took some major heat because he said, you know, we need to open up these board meetings more for our members to be able to hear what's going on and maybe cast information about a subject that we're going to vote on. And so a lot of things happening with the league. And while he didn't disclose anything he was not supposed to, he was totally supportive of both ham radio and totally supportive of the American Radio Relay League. There's a real guy you can count on. And Chris, thank you for rolling Quartz Fest in your great style. And finally, in 2 weeks, we're going down to Yuma. And Yuma is going to be a good one. That's Rick, your Arizona section manager. And he promises that it's going to be a great deal for the Yuma Ham Fest, which is also going to be the Southwestern Division Convention. So all I can say was, wow, 850 folks. We only had about five or six organizers and about three of us actually working from sunup to sundown on scene. In other words, where people could gather around and ask us questions. It was a job. I'm still digging out. But let me tell you, it was worth it because if you needed something, you got on the radio or you put up a note and the hams came out of everywhere to loan you or give you or make things happen. That's ham radio. And a big thanks to ICOM America for the great support they gave, and especially the 9100. It's a little bit dusty, but it sure worked. So let's hear more from ICOM America.
Happy New Year's from ICOM. Start the new year out with a bang with one of ICOM's new available products. Communications have never been so fun. The SDR you've asked for is here. ICOM's new 7610 is a high-performance RMDR with the ability to pick out the faintest signal, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals. The new ICOM IC7610 is a direct sampling software-defined radio that will change the world's definition of a SDR transceiver. RF Direct Sampling System, 110 RMDR, independent dual receivers, and dual digicell. ID31A Plus, a new D-Star communications device, is here. Easy to operate, the ID31A Plus is available in silver, red, or gold. Worldwide digital communications. Share pictures and text messages. IPX7 waterproof, compact, lightweight, and tough. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on all the great ICOM radios.
You know, you can tune in and enter to win. You can register after each episode of Ham Nation for your chance to win weekly swag prizes from ICOM. And the weekly swag drawing winners are automatically entered into the monthly grand prize drawing for a free ICOM radio. January is the ID31A Plus. This is a great little UHF analog D-Star handheld with all the bells and whistles, like extended D-Star coverage, fast DV data mode, a DV and FM repeater search function, a whole lot more. Not sure what the February radio is going to be, nor do I know yet who the January radio winner is of the ID31, but George will be back next week and tell us both of those little bits of information. But in the meantime, you need to go to ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation. There you'll find the official rules, and you can check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners, and hopefully we'll see your name among the winners pretty soon. But hey, you can't win if you don't play, so sign up and good luck from ICOM and Ham Nation. Time now to go back over towards Bob and see what this week's installment of the Pine Board has installed for us.
Okie doke, Mr. Don. Well, I've been having a little fun before we get into all of the Pine Board stuff. I hope this works. Sarah has an Alexa. I'm sure a lot of you have them. We've had it, I don't know, long time, year, I don't know, whenever it came out. But I've never touched it till the other day. And I got, I wonder. And I saw an article about hams using it. So Here's what's good about it. Check it out. I hope she behaves. What is 468 divided by 3.880?
468 divided by 3.88 is 120.62.
Aha! Perfect dipole for 75 meter AM or anywhere else like that. When will the sun set in Costa Mesa, California?
Sunset is at 5:22 p.m.
And this is a good one. I wrote down a couple of things down. How do you spell heterodyne?
Heterodyne is spelled H-E-T-E-R-O-D-Y-N-E.
What is the meaning of heterodyne?
The term heterodyne has a couple of distinct meanings. As an adjective, a word relating to the beat produced by heterodyning two oscillations, and as a verb, combine a radio frequency wave with a locally generated wave of a different frequency so as to produce a new frequency equal to the sum or the difference between the two.
There, if you didn't know, there you are. Is that cool? You can do all kinds of, you can set a timer, your 10-minute timer, and it's just wonderful. The only downside is we have it out in the room where one of the televisions, and there's an ad. I don't know what it is, but it's an ad. And the lady comes running into the room and says, she's talking to her, stop. She just did it again. she come in and talking to her daughter, and her daughter was named that. And this will answer. Say, can I help you?
Can use the Alexa app instead.
Okay, I got to get her out of here because she's going to go nuts. Is that fun or what? So there's a new ham radio.
I make mine burp. I have mine set where she'll belch.
Oh, well, I don't do anything like that. Does she do everything for you?
Yeah, she'll do all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
It's pretty crazy,
the best,
isn't it?
The best thing that she'll do is when I say, Alexa, stop, she stops.
Mine just turned when you said that. Oh, gosh.
We have the dot. So yeah. You have four names that you can name her. And we started with, I can't say the name, but it starts kind of with Alex. And, I didn't use that at first because that's always how I referenced to her. So we changed it to Echo. Oh, big mistake in ham radio, right?
Yeah.
Don't use Echo. So then there's computer. And that doesn't really work either because we talk about computers all the time in the household. And then there's, I think you can, Dot or Amazon, one of the two. And none of those worked. So she's back to Alex. That's her nickname right now. And she will wake up in the other room from watching TV and it really creeps out the dogs because all of a sudden they hear a voice in the other room. That's no bueno. But, yeah. You know, I really love her for a lot of things. First with the tracker to find Jeff's phone. And also you can just instantly tell her to start a timer, which I use a ton, and or to stream our music. So I know this isn't an advertisement for Alexa, but sorry, don't wake up. It is pretty funny what ham radio can do to set her off. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can see a lot of uses for it in this hobby. So there you are. I just figured out what a dipole is. So you got it. And you don't have to monkey around with any kind of your telephone and a calculator. She'll just tell you right straight up. So, okay. I just figured I'd throw that in. And have some fun. Well, I got just a couple of things I want to run by. Again, I've been not only going around and around with so many guys in email and so on, But the Ham Fest, it is so many people, and the questions are so wonderful. People are getting really excited about this because they never dreamed they could build something. And then when they build it, it works. That is the best part. And the way that Gene has laid out the diagrams, you don't need a schematic. You can go right straight through, and you don't need much at all to make things work. So if you haven't started yet, you want to do it. You really do. It's a fascinating part of this hobby. But I want to tell you, as I do, I try to do this every week. And I get, once in a while, I'll get some of these doom and gloomers giving me all kinds of trouble about, oh, you're going to electrocute somebody. No, we're not. We're going to teach you how to respect high voltage. You need to do it no matter if you built it, if you own it, operate it, whatever. You just have to respect it. And the main thing is that you understand what's going on inside. But what I want to do here real quickly, I'm going to do a run through of all of the diagrams, either the late diagrams. A lot of people missed some of them, and they're saying, well, how come you changed it? And you did it. If you watched every show, you will know we improved it. I would do something, and Richard and I, W0BVT, that kind of my mentor on all this, and Gene and Chip, a lot of guys are putting in their two cents worth, so to speak. And so we make things better. But this is the final. If you really want to start from scratch, or if you haven't done it this way, that's the power supply with the bridge rectifier. The bridge rectifier will give us a lot more voltage than the tube rectifier. And we're getting about 4.5 to 5 watts out of the transmitter. That is the mic preamp. Now, you have to understand that this mic preamp worked for a lot of other things. That's why we have an input and an output. I didn't hardwire any of these because we're going to do some other things later on with that preamp. And we all, I mean everybody that has built this and that knows a little bit about circuitry and electronics, we're all freaked out how good this thing sounds. Well, it should, because it came from a guitar amplifier preamp I built back in about 74 or 75. Bachman Turner Overdrive, Joe Walsh, a number of my friends back in those days were using that to drive their amplifiers. And so, yeah, it's going to sound pretty good. And it's got the high boost switch. And of course, it has equalization. But that's the preamp we came up with the last thing. And then we're not going to be changing this much. This is it. And that's why I'm doing this tonight, because this will be put up on our website here in just a few days. So they'll all be there. This is the final. It really hasn't changed much, and it works really good. We're getting about 4.5 to 5 watts. Now, here's another interesting part of this. This is the layout, and that's all you need. If you put that power supply together using this layout, it's right there for you. You can't go wrong. You really can't. And then here is the layout that Gene did for the preamp. And it's just so easy. And it's got all of the volume, treble controls, bass control, volume, and a switch for high boost. It's all there. So this is the whole shebang of the mic preamplifier. Somebody asked me a question at the Hamfest the other day. What is that for? Why do you have a 2.5 millihenry choke in a preamp? Very simple. That choke and that capacitor going to ground, the 001, is an RFI filter. So if any RFI gets on this input, guess what? It's going to go to ground. That's what it's there for. It's just a little filter. you probably won't need it with 5 watts, but we didn't know, so we put it in there. Kind of a little thing to teach you how we can do some of this stuff. And this is the great final. This final is so cool. This actually came from about a 1953 ARRL handbook, and Richard had built it years ago. And there's a lot of these out there running around that when we built years ago, and we're still building. But there it is, so simple. And again, there's another one of the chokes, but that's not there for RFI. I guess it kind of is. It keeps the RF from going back into the modulator. We want it to go that way, not that way. But that's the a really nice layout of the final. And I just wanted to give you all of these things in their final stages. Last but not least, there's the great Gene W4IQN relay. You could or whatever. You go to Gateway Electronics. I just got a note from them today. They finally got, they ran out. That's a problem. A lot of these places are running out of parts. And Lisa just got a new shipment in of that. The other thing, I've had an awful lot of questions about the coil. Here is how you can build your coil. Gene did a great job on this. And one thing you have to pay attention to, he's using McMaster Car. That's a company. You can put it into Google. And it's an 85085K8. That is a strip. It's a wire organizer, so you can organize wire runs. Well, we're really going to do it here. You take the PVC. This is the regular PVC. Put it in the microwave oven for about 10 minutes. Why do you do that, Heil? Because PVC will affect the RF. But if you put it in the microwave oven, it won't do that. So you do that first. And then you take the McMasters and you put them around the outside. Now, you want to use wax paper around it first. This is all told here. You use wax paper around it. Then you mount the McMaster. There we go. The McMaster cores around. And now, once you do that, you take some, I'd use 16 gauge wire. You can get that at the Lowe's or Home Depot and wind your coil. When you get it all done, you pull all that away and guess what? You have a beautiful coil. I mean, really pretty. And there's a picture of it all without that. Last but not least, this is the one I get the most requests for. What about the parts? Well, the parts are all available, but they're not available, all of them, from Antique Electronics. Antique Electronics have most of them, and they have the kit set up. There's the part numbers right there. You give them the parts number, P, Bob Heil, Pine Board AMT, Amateur Transmitter. Power supply, BH, power supply, PBH, mic preamp. Those, you'll get all the parts for that they have. What you won't get is the 2.5 millihenry choke. And you're going to get that now from MFJ. Hammond up in Canada, wake up, Ohio. Hammond was the builder of that for decades. Well, they quit building it. So we were out of luck for a while. Well, MFJ have them, and you can go call Richard at MFJ, and you're going to get to coil it from them also. The tubes are going to come from this. I really suggest that over anything else. It's vacuumtubes.com. Michael is guy in the St. Louis area, and he's got lots of tubes, and his prices are great. The relay and a lot of other parts, they're really great, is Gateway Dash Electronics. You have to be very careful. If you don't put that dash in there, you're going to get a Gateway Electronics in the UK. So it's Gateway Electronics. Look at their website. Oh, man, she's got all kinds of stuff. And crystals, af4k.com. So that's pretty much it in a nutshell. I know you, a lot of you have seen it. A lot of you have used it and they're built and so on. You're going to say, why'd you do it again? I did it again because I'm getting so many requests. Because a lot of people, since the QST article came out, they didn't know about Ham Nation. And they didn't know about this. But they're like, wow, we want to do this. So I wanted to do a show because a lot of new viewers tonight. I guarantee you they're here tuning up on that. Last but not least, you remember last week I showed you how the guy did a toilet. Well, I got the forms just yesterday, and I'll get into that maybe next week. I don't know if I get time, but week after. We'll do this instead of the coil from MFJ. That'll be your whole final coil. 41 turns on that little puppy. No, another way to build a coil. That's what we're trying to do, is to kind of teach us all how to do it all. So there you go. I'll shut up and go away. I hope that it was rewarding for some of you, and I hope it wasn't boring for a lot of you that aren't building, but we're trying to help you learn more about this hobby. And that's, I guess, the number one thing I hear from so many people is like, wow, thank you. So, yeah. Well, that's what we got here. Let's go see what's happening in Colorado, because I bet you Amanda has a lot of questions. Go ahead, Amanda.
I had some great discussions. And first of all, Bob, so not everyone saw last week's episode yet, and there were a couple questions about what is Bob talking on. You want to tell us one more time what microphone you're using there?
Well, this is a new one. It just came out, and it's a couple of years in the building, but I got it. It's a PR77D, and it's a copy of a 1938 RCA. You saw Johnny Carson. You saw Bing Crosby. Lots of people in those days used a microphone. Looks just like this. There's only one thing. This is a large dynamic that we use in Carrie Underwood and Keith Urban and dozens of performers' microphone. Well, it's put in here. What's really cool, I have a switch on the back of it. It just gives it more top end for ham radio. But for broadcast, we do that. It's a marvelous microphone. We're very proud of it. And it's just coming on the market. So go to our website and see all about it. So thanks for asking. PR77D.
Well, you can definitely tell the difference in the fidelity when you made the switch. So thanks, Bob, for explaining that to everyone. And I know if Valerie was here tonight, she'd tell you all the Bouvet boys have landed. They've landed in one piece. They went through some 20-foot, 30-foot swells, but they have made it. Now, I haven't seen any updates since then. I haven't been on social media this afternoon, but I'm sure that they're busy putting equipment on helicopters and getting it transferred over there, and they're setting up their camp. And I can't wait to hear them on the air, as well as everyone in the world. So that's exciting news that they made it. And I think it was exactly 14 days. Correct me, somebody, if I'm wrong on chat. But all right, let's see. What else do I have for tonight? I do have a great discussion panel that I'd like to go over with everyone. But first, Gordo, somebody asked, you mentioned some high-end LEDs the other week. Can you tell us again where we could find those or how to get in contact with those folks?
Yeah, Roger and Kim were there, and their name of their company is Wired Communications, WIREDCOMM. You got it, wiredcommunications.com. And Roger is happy to spend any amount of time with you on the phone to come up with the right LED strips for what you plan to do. And I think he's got everyone known to mankind. But I believe they're on their way now to the Orlando Hamcation show. Unfortunately, I won't be there this year, Amanda, but they can look him up there as well. But wired communications will get you to the LED factory.
Great, Gordo. Thank you. And everyone's going to miss you in Orlando. That's for sure. This is kind of a group topic. And this week could go crazy with this. And maybe we should have a show me your shack for the Ham Nation host, because that's what this person really was envisioning. It was W8DVD David. He wants to know what all is in your shack and what you use. Let me just make it a little bit more specific and go to what's your first go-to radio in your shack. And Bob, you want to take it away?
Oh, no. Well, I've been away from my station for 3 or 4 months. I'm going to be back there this weekend, though, but lots going on. And so my go-to radio, I probably have to say the 7851. It does so much when I'm just listening around. But for talking, most of my talking is on an Ico 1969, Ico 720 with a 730 modulator on AM. Because I do so much of my talking on AM. I'm here late. There, I've been using the Pine Board, believe it or not. So those are my favorite rigs. And I truly love the 7851, and it's really something.
Well, you can't go wrong with that one. Gordo, what about you?
During the morning hours, I roll my morning net on 7250, 40 meters on the Kenwood TS990. Wow. That radio has 100 gazillion features, and I know maybe 5% of them. But it's a great radio for customizing the incoming audio, and I really like the filters. And then when I'm doing my classes and remotes, we use the ICOM right here, the 9100, and that also supports VHF, UHF, and D-Star. And I also have a Yaesu, and I like to have one of each brand, so I'm well-rounded out. But the ICOM and the Kenwood right now are my two go-to radios on almost a daily basis.
Well, there you go. Now, Don, this is an easy one because you and I have the same thing. So I know what your go-to radio is, but yeah, we can't get enough of them. Is that correct?
No. The ICOM 7600. It's the only HF radio I have right now. Well, I take that back. I have an ICOM 7000. It's not installed in anything. But the 7600 is sitting right there, and just above that, sitting right on top of it, I'd pick up the camera, but it's awkward, is a 5100, an ID 5100 for VHF, UHF, and D-Star around here. I've got a 51 for a handheld. My son has a 51 for a handheld. That's his radio. So, yeah, we're kind of an ICOM family around here. I've owned others, but I've always been an ICOM fan since the beginning. So my first HF radio was an ICOM 738 that I won at a ham fest 20-something years ago. And I had one Kenwood HF radio that I liked, but I wasn't in love with. That's the one, the TS2000 that lightning hit. And I replaced it with a 7600. And my God, I have never been happier. So that's mine.
And we still have a TS2000 in our shack, and we use it mm-hmm. several cases for MCOM use because it has 2 meters and 70 centimeters right. in it. We can't live without that, first of all, and we can help. That's how we teach people digital for Aries and stuff. We use that rig as well. But yep. I'll tell you what,
the favorite radio that I ever owned, and I lost it in Katrina, or I would still have it, but I lost it in Katrina. That was an ICOM 746. I loved that radio. I loved having 100 watts all mode on 2 meter.
Yeah, we used to own one, and Jeff sold it on eBay, and he really mm-hmm. regrets it.
Yeah,
he said that was a really good rig. It's a great beginner rig, and if anyone ever finds those for a deal under like $800 anymore, pick them up. Okay, one other question. I think we have a couple extra minutes. I can squeeze this in here. This is such a funny question from Pierre. He says, how can I stop annoying my wife at night talking on 40 meters? Is there any kind of RF choke I can put on? And I think he's talking about how his wife would like to watch home TV while he's talking on the radio, because I've been there and I felt his pain because I said, Jeff told me that there was nothing ever that he could do, and so I would have to hear him through our home theater speakers. Once we moved, I knew he was lying to me. He moved the antenna. it was a completely different story. Gordo, what's your experience with this, getting RF on 40 meters at night while your wife's trying to watch TV? Have you done that to her?
The plan is when she comes in and yells at me, I go, I'm getting the same interference. It's that gym guy across the street. So immediately deny it. And then the next day when she's out, snap on all of those clam type chokes. So you don't have to break a wire. They just clip right on. In fact, here's one right here on the crossband we were using out at Quartzsite. And you snap on that little choke. You don't have to break the wire. And that should minimize your RF getting into the TV. But number one, always deny it, as a good ham would do on TBI.
Oh, you guys are so funny. All right, I know I have some nets to announce here, but it's a true story. I was lied to. Jeff, I curse you. I think he's talking on the radio in the background. Okay, we got some nets. D-Star, we have 14 Charlie. DMR, we have TAC 311, Echo Link, we have Dewdrop In. I haven't seen 40 meter. You guys, I really haven't been paying attention to the chat here at the end here. And 7192 for 40 meters, but 75 meters, I'm unsure of. So with that, it's been a wonderful show. Glad to be back. And we'll have, I think, Val on next week. Over to you, Bob.
Okay. Well, I'm headed out of here for Orlando. I'm really excited because I'm going to give you guys a little heads up. We're going to introduce a new product that's going to change ham radio. I know everybody, I'm serious. Just remember where you heard it and when. I've been 2 years working on this thing, and it's a thing that every receiver needs. See, we have all this nonsense of receivers that are many, many thousands of dollars, but they don't have very good audio on the receiver. You've never seen any spec charts on them. Well, now you will. It's amazing. It's a parametric receive system. And I got to tell you, boys and girls, it's unbelievable what this does to receivers. I don't have the speaker here where I can show you. It comes with a speaker with a 4-inch woofer and a 2-inch tweeter. And I love all this stuff. It's all these transceivers have about 10% distortion in their audio because you've never seen a spec sheet on one because they're about 10%. Terrible. 1 watt. This thing's got 25 watts at 0.1. We're talking hi-fi stuff. So I'll give you a little preface, and we're going to expose it at Orlando, and it will be available at Dayton. So don't be calling the factory and say, I want to buy one. Not yet. But you will once you hear and play with it. It's unbelievable. The parametric equalizer is so good on receive. You can go in there and dial up what you need, and it's amazing. But I don't know why they haven't done it yet. But we did. We changed everything in 1982 by bringing the EQ200. We're going to do it again with that. So I'm really excited about it. We'll see you in Orlando. The whole team's going down. Steve, Jerry, some of us. So we'll see you there. Till then, right back here next Wednesday. I'll be on an airplane. Airplane. I'm not driving that far. And, we'll keep up with you the week after. Have a great time and work lots of stations. DX, home, round the corner, just get on the air. And especially you Pine Board guys, 3885, 3880, somewhere in the AM window. And away we go. So 7-3, we'll talk to you soon and enjoy ham radio. It's the only hobby that I really have, and it's the only hobby I need other than playing the theater organ, I guess. Bye-bye for now. This is K9EID, and we'll be talking to you next time right here on the TWiT Network. Thank you, Victor. Thank you, Leo, for giving us the time and all the sponsors. So bye-bye for now. See ya.